Roundabout?
Yes, sir.
All right, there, we got that. Mitch was testing me on a song. Figured I'd go with that.
Yeah.
All right, 5 o'clock hour here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Taking right up till 6 o'clock. Jordan's filling in for Bernsie. Bernsie's got the week off. He'll be back next week. I'll be on vacation. But Jordan filled in all this week. Mitch is filling in for Jordan, doing a good job behind the glass. And, of course, Sarah giving you our updates and chiming in and helping us as well. We've got a good poll question up right now on the Burns and Gambo page on Twitter if you want to. It talks about signing a waiver to watch a sporting event. So go to the Burns and Gambo page for that. One of the more interesting stories, and I checked in as much as I could with the Cardinals on this, is travel. There's some discussion that there are NFL teams that are contemplating traveling just a day of on certain road trips, which would allow them to avoid hotels and extra buses and, you know, meals and things like that. I think it'd be a little crazy, but it's being floated. I'll just read this part to you. The planning for the 2020 NFL season includes a revolutionary and risky approach to traveling to road games. Per a league source, multiple teams intend to fly to and from road games on the day of the game. There will be limitations, right? They talk about, like, you know, the 49ers playing the Jets in week two. Not practical to fly across the country and play the same day. Weather could be a factor. But if you think about the Cardinals, games against the Rams, the 49ers, Seattle, could you possibly fly the day of the game? Yeah, you could fly the day of the game. Now, what I've heard in checking in, from one of my Cardinal sources is that they doubt it, but who knows anymore? I mean, who knows? Maybe that's the way it goes, but they doubt that that would happen. It's not ideal, but in a pandemic where you're trying to protect players, it does make some sense. Especially if it's a shorter road trip where you don't have that jet lag from being a plane for 5 hours. If it's a quick hour flight to go to the Rams, yeah, could you fly in that morning and get to the stadium and just play that day and come back the same day? Yeah, it's possible you could. It's not ideal, but it's possible you could do that.
That's just what I was thinking. Of course it's not ideal if this is not the way that they normally conduct business, but I was just trying to think, like, a trip to L.A. for the Rams, a little over an hour. By the time you get onto buses and get to the stadium, you might only be talking about 2 hour round trip or 2 hour one way trip there to get to the actual stadium. I don't know how big of a difference that would really make. I mean, the idea that these guys are 24 hours there before staying in a hotel, it, to your point, it is not ideal. But with these shorter trips for the Cardinals to L.A. or even their one road preseason game, which it's looking like that will be the Las Vegas Raiders, same situation. You could definitely do that in just one day. Where you get into trickier things is when you are traveling into different time zones or you're traveling further back east, where not only are you dealing with longer flights, but you're dealing with jet lag and a time zone that could drastically mess with your body clock.
Yeah, yeah. So I think I think for those situations, if you go in and you're traveling across time zones, probably better to do it the old-fashioned way. But if you're the Giants and you're going to play the Eagles or you're going to play the Redskins, that is a super short trip to go play the Redskins, to go play the Eagles. Now, the Cowboys game, obviously, you're crossing time zones. So, you know, that game's, you know, not ideal. But I do think in many of the divisions, you say, okay, can you get there the day of within an hour and a half? Because, again, I think anybody that's ever been on a plane for 5 hours, yeah, you don't have your legs with you right away. It'd be hard to play a sporting event if you had a five-hour flight. But an hour flight? Man, by the time you're up, you almost feel like you're descending within, you know, a short amount of time. And you are. So I think that you could probably get by. Does it keep you safer? I mean, if they're trying to avoid as much contact with other people as possible, well, then it makes sense. You don't have to take a plane the day before or 2 days before, then take a bus to the hotel, deal with people in a hotel, deal with people in a restaurant, hang around a different city, take a bus the next day. It'd be a lot easier to just do it the day of. Would it affect performance? I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's the biggest question. Would it affect your ability to perform?
I don't know if it really would. I mean, on these short trips, and that's the caveat, these short trips.
Has to be the short
trips. L.A., yeah. San Francisco, and I don't know if even Seattle would fit in that. Seattle's like a 3.5-4 hour flight. So, I mean, you're talking about going the other direction. That would be the equivalent of Dallas or Houston on that type of time frame. So I just don't think that it would I don't think it would be big enough of a hindrance that all of a sudden teams that are traveling the same day are getting blown out by 25, 30 points. I think it's something that we're going to see in all aspects of sports, where it's just teams, organizations rethinking about the way that things have been done in the past. And can we eliminate certain things that may not be necessary? And in certain short trips, an overnight stay may not be necessary.
No. And if you can get it, listen, if you do it and it works, who knows? Maybe it changes.
Yeah.
It changes things in the future. Like, hey, listen, we could show up the day of, and you know, would players like that? I mean, I don't know. I'm going to ask a couple of players about that. Would you prefer that? You know, you're home for an extra day or two. I mean, it's not like it's a less controlled environment. You would still have your walkthrough on Friday, and then you'd give the players Saturday off, and then you'd meet Sunday morning. You'd take a 9 o'clock flight out. What you would worry about is, what if there's mechanical delays? What if there's weather delays? You know, what if you can't land because there's lightning in the area? I mean, what if, you know, you get on the plane, or all of a sudden, hey, we can't take off. We're having mechanical problems, and we're going to be 2 hours. Okay. Now you put your chance of showing up for the game at risk.
Yeah.
Or guys feel rushed and you're panicked. I mean, anybody that's ever been on a plane and your flight delay, I mean, you get panic and stuff. So that's the one thing that you would have, everything would have to go smooth. You'd have to show up. You'd have to get on a plane. You'd have to leave without any problems at all, land without any problems at all. Now, most of the time, that's going to happen. But it's possible that
it's the one time, but all it takes is one time for a game to be canceled because of a delayed flight, and then it looks terrible.
Yeah. I mean, I you know, I don't know. I mean, I think players are a product of their routine. They like their routine. They like getting to the hotels. They like being there early. That's, you know, they're a product of their environment. That's what they're used to. They're used to getting in the day before or 2 days before and handling it that way. And again, I'd be concerned with mechanical failures or anything like that that could put your ability to get there in time in jeopardy.
Now, the other big piece of news out of the NFL today comes out of the preseason, as the NFL has officially shortened the 2020 preseason to just 2 games. So what this does, in essence, is it basically wipes out week 1 and week 4, at least
Good.
In terms of the dates. So the first NFL preseason game will not happen until August 20th through the 24th.
Yeah, the right thing to do, eliminate the 2 games. It was going to happen anyway. So, I mean, it was no doubt that that was going to happen anyway. So now and then especially in a pandemic, right, you eliminate planes, you eliminate buses, you eliminate contact with other teams. And, you know, it's just 2 less games that you have to deal with, that you can, you know, control the environment that your players are in. So I think it always made sense. And look, I got to be honest with you, I don't think that they ever needed the 4 preseason games anyway. With the amount of playing time that, you know, the first unit gets and even the second unit, the 4 preseason games didn't make much sense. I could have lived with 3. I think 3 would have been ideal. 2's fine. I would have thought 3 is the perfect number. I thought that 4th game was always kind of a waste. Just, you know, a couple of guys battling for spots on the practice squad, or maybe 1 roster spot up for grabs. But, you know, none of the starters played, and a lot of the second unit guys didn't play either. So 3 would have been more to my liking, but 2 makes a ton of sense.
During the Independence Day holiday weekend, blood donations are at their lowest level all summer long. Please donate at Vitalant Saving Arizona Blood Drive on Sunday, July 5th. From 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Tempe Center for the Arts. You'll be thanked with a free Whataburger voucher, and a donor will be drawn as one of the 10 finalists for a brand new 2020 Volkswagen. As a service to donors, all donations will be tested for COVID-19 antibodies, and all blood types are needed, especially type O. Appointments are strongly recommended. Visit www.vitalant.org/saveAZ. Coming up next here on the Burns and Gambo Show, what can the Suns accomplish in Orlando during their 8 regular season games? to make sure that Devin Booker wants to stay here in Phoenix. That's next on 98.7 FM.
All right, 5:16. Jordan Bird filling in for Bernsie, taking you right up till 6 o'clock tonight. Talk a little Suns basketball as they get set for the restart. Three preseason games, 8 regular season games. And I was listening to Doug and Wolf this morning, and Doug was talking about Stephen A. Smith and his comments on Devin Booker and playing for the Knicks, and doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And not what Doug said, because I think Doug had a good point on, you know, somebody might be feeding Stephen A. Smith that the Knicks could be going after Booker. Look, here's the thing on Book. He's not untouchable. He's not one of the top 12, 15 players in the league. He's not a superstar player. For the right deal, yeah, I think he could be traded, but I don't expect that he's going to go anywhere. He's got 4 more years left on his deal. They're trying to build around him and DeAndre Ayton. He hasn't shown any displeasure with being here. He's been patient. He likes Monty Williams, and you know, obviously they took a step this year. They took a step, and they've got to take another step next year. And I think Booker will be a part of the future. I don't expect that they're going to trade him. But again, with that being said, I don't think that the Suns have a player on their roster that's untouchable. They got a couple players they want to build around, but it's not like they've got Giannis. You know, it's not like they've got that untouchable player who's like, oh yeah, there's no way we're going to trade that guy.
Yeah, but any trade that you would make for a Devin Booker or a DeAndre Ayton, you're not getting back top-level players. You're probably getting draft picks and multiple players for the one guy in Devin Booker. It would significantly set back the Suns' rebuilding process here. And I know people are probably keeling over with laughter right now to hear me phrase what the Suns have done the last 10 years as rebuilding, because it has just continually been the same year after year after year. But I feel, and I could be drinking the Kool-Aid and be completely biased in my Suns' fandom, but I think the Suns are close here in the sense that if DeAndre Ayton continues to improve and Devin Booker continues to make the developments that he has, and if you can add a few more veteran pieces here and there to fill out this roster, I don't think the Suns are that far away from starting to contend for a playoff spot. And I know that may not sound like much, but after 10 years of dog poop, I'll take contending for a playoff spot. And if you trade Booker, you're restarting that whole process from square one.
Yeah, you know, you need to develop a team that can play together for a few years. Your core guys. You got to develop a core group of players and then have those guys stay together for a few years. You can't keep turning over the roster all the time. Now, with that said, I expect that they're going to turn over the roster of role players. I mean, I think that at least 5 of these guys are going to be gone. I don't think Baines will be back. I don't think Saric will be back. I don't think Carter or Kobo are going to be back. There's going to be 5 players, maybe more, that don't come back. They've got to upgrade the depth. They'll build around Booker and Ayton. And I think that they'll try to make a move for a power forward. I'll continue to say that I think Aaron Gordon is the likely candidate. I do not expect that they would look at Danilo Gallinari. I know people have asked me about that, but I do not think that there is any interest in Gallinari. And I don't think that Markkanen would be the play, even though I like Markkanen for his shooting. You know, I think Gordon's probably more of the play. Now, how do you get a guy like Gordon? Trade. You know, now, would Orlando want a first-round pick, which the Suns could give up? Yeah, maybe. Would they want a Kelly Oubre, who's got a year left on his deal? Maybe. I mean, if the Suns determine that they're not going to pay Kelly after this next year, well, then he's obviously tradable. If they determine that, and I don't know where they are, but if they say, hey, you know what, we're not going to give him a 5-year deal for $100 million. Well, okay, well, then, you know, then he is a guy that you could trade this year to go get somebody, you know, who could be here for the future. But they do need to upgrade the depth on this team. If they continue to build around the 2 young guys in Booker and Ayton, they got to continue to get quality depth, better depth. Baines isn't a guy you can count on. He'll be gone. Kaminsky, I think he could be gone too, maybe. But I expect Saric to be gone and Baines to be gone, and they've got to upgrade those positions with better players.
You're starting to add quality to this organization and to this roster. I mean, it's the same thing I've said about Ricky Rubio since he was signed. Is he the perfect solution for the Phoenix Suns? Is he the long-term? No, he's not. But he was such an upgrade over what they've had here previously. And you need to start checking off those other areas on this roster where you can say that, hey, we're not finished, but it's an improvement from where we have been recently. Now, earlier today, Monty Williams was on a Zoom conference call with reporters, and he was talking to them about Devin Booker during all of this COVID shutdown and how he's been handling it.
When those guys were able to start working, he had a bubble and a place where he was working out with his dad and his brother. I'm sure he struggled because he's a gym guy. Like there's certain guys that like to play and be in the gym and hoop, playing one on one, three on three, going against coaches, that kind of thing. He's one of them. So I'm sure you'd have to ask him when the time is appropriate. But just having been around him, I know it's probably something that he's hated.
The Suns were making baby steps in the progress of this season, and the disjointed way that it came to an end, or at least momentarily, back in March, I'm sure has a lot of these Suns players, especially Devin Booker, who made his first All-Star game, who was looked at as the face of this franchise, it has him itching to get back out there and to, you know, as much as they can in eight short games, prove the naysayers wrong.
Yeah, I think what the eight games plus the three preseason games that gives Monty a second training camp, and it's just another ability for Monty to coach. I mean, these are younger players; they need coaching, right? They need guidance, and it gives you a training camp of a couple of weeks and an 11 more games. That, in all honesty, is a precursor to next year for the Phoenix Suns. They're not making the playoffs. They're not going 8-0 or 7-1. But it's just another step that they could take, towards being more relevant next year. Now, the difference is that by next year, there's going to be new pieces that they'll have to play with. They're going to part with certain guys and they're going to bring in new guys. Like I said, I'm expecting at least five, new players for next season. So it's not like those guys are here. But for the guys that you're going to build around, the core guys, you just continue to let them work together, play with each other, get more comfortable with each other, and get more comfortable with what Monty wants. I mean, sometimes it takes a coach a couple of years to really get the players to understand, what he wants out of those players.
Yeah, and that's important to note because we're still talking about Devin Booker as an all-star and the face of this franchise, and he's 23 years old. We're talking about the secondary piece to this team and DeAndre Ayton at 21, about to turn 22. This is still an incredibly young team when you're talking about your key contributors, your key players, still being in their early 20s. And I think that's important to note about the head coaching position. For Devin Booker, who else has he had here to really rely upon in that head coaching role? No one. I mean, Monty Williams is the first guy that seems to know what he's doing, and if I'm Devin Booker, the first head coach that I've had here in Phoenix that I believe I can trust in to take me to that next level. So I think you're absolutely right that, it took 10 years for the Suns to bottom out. It's going to take a little bit of time for them to get back to competitive basketball, to be someone that is battling for a playoff spot in the standings. It's not just going to happen in one season, and it's not just going to happen overnight.
Yeah, it's they took a step this year to be more competitive. And by not being one of the eight teams that has been left out of Orlando, and look, they were close to being left out. If they went with 20 teams instead of 22, they'd be left out. And you wouldn't have the second training camp in these games. The other eight teams are now scrambling to figure out, how do we stay relevant? How do we get some time in? How do we get some work in? So to me, that was the biggest plus for the Phoenix Suns. That showed that they are headed in the right direction is because they're in Orlando. They're going to go to Orlando, and they're going to play in these games as long as, the season doesn't get canceled. And that is, even though they aren't going to make the playoffs, to me, that was a step that they took. It was a step to being relevant. It was a step to being more competitive. It showed that they're headed in the right direction.
Specifically for Devin Booker, Monty Williams today did say that Devin Booker is looking for something specifically when play resumes in Orlando.
I think he wants to go to Orlando and cement himself as one of the better players in the league in a different way. He made the All-Star team. Now I think he's probably got his eyes set on all NBA, and he's more than capable.
I know that's not going to happen this season, all NBA, and it's going to be very difficult for Devin Booker to, you know, change people's opinions or get him on the Devin Booker bandwagon in just eight games. But I think depending on his performance, him specifically and also with the Suns, can at least be, once again, competitive in the Orlando resumption. If they can win three, four games, I think that will also go a long way in building up positive momentum heading into next season.
Well, I'm going to look at it another way, too. I want to see how they play these games without Kelly Oubre. I mean, does it give the front office a look at what life without Oubre would be like? Does it, if they play well, does it lend them to think that, okay, if we got a really good trade offer for Oubre, maybe we'd make it? You know, that depends on DeAndre's development. That depends on Mikal Bridges' development. Because, you know, again, there's only 1 year left on Oubre's contract. And this could be an indicator of whether you want to keep Oubre or not, depending on how they play in some of these games.
Coming up next here on the Burns and Gambo Show, Major League Baseball is starting to roll back into their routine. But one prominent baseball voice has a growing concern with their return to the field and its relation to the spike in coronavirus cases. We'll tell you about that next on 98.7 FM.
On the program, going to talk a little baseball. Spoke with an MLB player today who had a test done today. Told me the antibody testing was a few minutes. And, you know, the players are just getting tested a lot. That antibody test was a few minutes. Spit test supposedly takes 24 to 48 hours, so they have to isolate until they get a negative test back before starting workout. So there were two tests, the antibody testing and then the spit test was done. But, you know, this player I spoke with said, you know, I'm really expecting, you know, 5 to 10 guys from every team to have it. He thinks it's just inevitable. Guys are coming from all over. Guys from Texas, Florida, Arizona, Venezuela, and the Dominican Republic. A lot of guys on the same planes together. So just inevitable that there's going to be a lot of positive tests. And I know you had talked to me about something that Buster Olney said, that a lot of these players, that he's saying a lot of players have some concerns about this restart.
Yeah, and one of the reasons why is just, but according to Buster Olney, what he's hearing is that not all of the Major League Baseball players are on board or united in the health and safety protocols that the league has set up to try to protect them.
Can everybody in these clubhouses or, you know, in these team groups start pulling in the same direction? You know, I think in baseball, what we've seen so far, what I've heard, is that it really reflects the conversation going on in this larger country, that there are some players who are all in on the social distancing. They're happy to wear a mask. That's part of their routine. And other players have indicated their teams, this is stupid. This is ridiculous. What are we doing? This is all, you know, this is kind of a joke.
And you have a pretty simple solution for those players.
Yeah, don't play. Like, this is simple. Like, listen, they're going to put rules in place that they think are in the best interest of everybody. One, to protect their ass, but two, also to protect you, because they certainly don't want players coming down with COVID-19 and then suing the league. And, you know, they don't want that. They are working together for the health protocols. This isn't one side saying this is the rules. They've worked together. They have to agree to it. So the MLBPA and Major League Baseball will work this out together. They'll agree to everything together. Now, if you have a problem with it, well, then don't play. This is simple. Don't play. There are rules in place, protocols in place. You may not like it, but those are the rules. And if you don't want to follow the rules, you have an option. And the option is don't play. I don't think it's that difficult. So I understand some of these rules are ridiculous. And I've said this all along. They're ridiculous. They're crazy. But, like, if you're to the point where you're, you know, I'm going to have principles and I'm like, I want to be able to chew seeds and spit them out or I'm not playing. Okay, don't play. That's simple. I want to be able to spit whenever I want to. Okay, don't play. I want to be able to go in the showers. Yeah, right. Okay, here's the rules. Follow them or don't play. This is not very difficult for those players who are going to complain about this stuff. Hey, a lot of us who are following rules, we may not like them. I know a lot of people that are fine with wearing masks, and I know a lot of people that aren't fine with wearing masks. If the rule says you got to wear a mask, then you got to wear a mask. I mean, that's it.
Yeah, and something that Tori Lavello said last week that I thought was interesting, when you talk about this concept of, you know, not being able to spit, not being able to chew seeds, he even brought up chewing gum and how that's one of his big things during ball games is, you know, chewing on a wad of gum. If it means that much to you, stay out of it. If baseball means that much to you, this shouldn't be that big of a deal to conform to these rules. It's going to be different. It's going to be unusual, but also you're getting paid for it as well. And so if you want to make that the line in the sand where, you know what, I'm not going to adhere to the rules and protocols, then fine. Don't participate, don't get paid, and don't be a part of what hopefully can be something that unifies the rest of the country with actually having baseball games to watch during the dog days of this summer.
Yeah, it's again, it's 60 games. It's not 162. The season's going to come and go real quick. And right now, it's like this is just what everybody has to do to try to stay safe. Try to stay safe. Stay safe.
There
if
you
I can
go.
Say that. A lot of these players, you know, the ones with young families and parents that may live at home, they're going to want every precaution taken necessary. They're going to be okay with that. They're going to want it. This is the hard thing. When you've got this many players, with 1,200 players, whatever it is, it's hard to get everybody to agree on the same thing. And we could all look at some of the rules that are in place and be like, oh, that's just so ridiculous. Who's going to follow that? But that's what they're going to ask you to do. Now, I don't expect everybody, I expect there'll be some leniency. A guy spits. Oh, it's like, oh, my God, I caught that guy spitting. Yep, he's gone. Kick him out. He can't play. No, you're just going to have to continue to, you know, suggest to people and make them know that, hey, listen, these are the rules. We got to follow the rules.
Now,
if you got a guy that just continues to spit all day long and they're saying, hey, you can't spit. Well, okay, maybe, you know, the leadership of the team has to take it into their hands. You know, or management has to say, hey, look, we got to follow these rules. You're not following the rules. You may have to reiterate it a few different times to get people to follow along. But in the end, you know, you've got to get the people to follow these rules.
You talked about that with the NBA. And for players that might be trying to look at ways to get around some of those rules, that it's going to take older veteran players to put those guys in their place. The same thing with Major League Baseball. There needs to be leaders within that clubhouse to say, hey, I know you may not want to do it, but come on, man. Like, you have to do it. There's no other way around it. Now, one other thing that came out of Major League Baseball today that was interesting is the idea that Major League Baseball will not release a COVID-19 injury list. If or when a player actually comes down, tests positive with it, the league and that team is not going to announce so-and-so tested positive for COVID. That has raised a lot of issues for some people, as Buster Olney says here, about how the players want full transparency when it comes to the risk that they're putting their body up against.
When Major League Baseball learns later this week how many players have tested positive, they owe it to the players and the employees to know exactly how many people have tested positive in every organization. I sent something out along the lines of that on Twitter the other night, and I got back from folks at the team level, basically said, look, because we're trying to honor HIPAA laws, you know, we've been instructed to be more vague. Well, you would hope and you would assume that the Players Association, representing the players, will go to Major League Baseball and say, look, we need to have those numbers precise and out there so that as players make this decision whether or not to participate, they have as full of context as they possibly can about how many people in each clubhouse, each organization are infected.
I understand baseball not wanting to put the positive players' information out there. There's all sort of medical issues that they need to worry about. But to Buster's point, there does need to be some sort of knowledge about how many teams are dealing with it and on what scale, so that if you may have come in contact with someone in that organization, you can properly take care of your own self.
Yeah, I think it's up to the players, right? You know, HIPAA laws and all of that stuff. You know, it's this isn't like an injury, right? This isn't like an injured player. This is a health thing. So they're not, you know, a player will have to grant that information if he wants to. Charlie Blackman, we know he tested positive, the Colorado Rockies. But if a player tests positive, we may find out that, hey, there are two players from this team, three players from this team, or there's a total of 22 players that tested positive. But they're not going to tell you who the players are, and they shouldn't tell you who the players are. We don't need to know who the players are. But I do think what we may see, Jordan, is we may see a team has player A playing on Tuesday, and then Wednesday he's not there, and Thursday he's not there, and then Friday he's not there, and Saturday he's not there, and Sunday, okay, something gives.
And he also hasn't shown up on the other official injury report.
Right. Right. So and that's the thing. That way you may be able to put two and two together pretty easily and figure out that, okay, that guy tested positive, he's in quarantine.
Yeah, so it's going to be one way or another, we're going to find out about this stuff, even if it's not, with the MLS today, we found out that six different MLS players have tested positive for FC Dallas under their Orlando bubble. We don't know their names as of yet, but we know the number and the organization that is currently dealing with it. I assume that that's going to be the same situation for Major League Baseball once we actually start getting to game action.
The MLS thing, yeah, six players. And I think with all of it, we've heard of players in the NBA that we know have tested positive. And with other teams, it's just like three players have tested positive. Again, it's and I've said this too on the reporting. I'm not going to report anybody that I know tested positive. I'm just not going to do it. It's not my place. I don't want to be that guy. So I'm not going to give out news of, players that I know have tested positive, because it's up to them. If they want to give out their health information, then they could give out their health information. It's not up to me or anybody else, in my opinion, to give out that information. The only person that should do that is the player himself.
Coming up next here on the Burns and Gambo show, Adam Silver has been praised for the way that he has handled the NBA's COVID-19 response. But as we get closer and closer to the Orlando bubble, is the NBA commissioner going to have to shut down the whole plan? That's coming up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
All right, final segment as we get many of you home on a Wednesday in Phoenix. We're on vacation the next 2 days. We have a station holidays for July 4th, Independence Day, so we will not have our show tomorrow or Friday. And then I will be off next week, so I really want to wish everybody out there a great Independence Day. I really thank all of you for tuning in to this show on this station for all the years that you have. I do appreciate that. And I do want to ask all of you guys to be safe out there. And I pray for all of you. Hope you guys all stay safe out there. I'll be back after next week, so I'll just miss the next 2 days as we have a station holiday, and then I'll be on vacation next week. Try to recharge the batteries, get away, spend some time with my family, and then I will be back. But again, just hope all of you guys are safe out there, and wish everybody the best, and then we'll be back soon enough.
You can follow me at
Gambo987 on Twitter. I always have my messages open for anybody who has a question or wants to stay in touch. It's a good way to follow me is at Gambo987.
I was just going to say, be prepared, because a lot of times when you go on vacation, major sports news breaks. And so, just using history as a guide, maybe the NBA will cancel their season next week when you're on vacation or something like that.
Yeah. I remember I broke the Steve Nash story nationally.
On 4th of July. I remember.
I broke that nationally. I think I was at SeaWorld, and I broke that story. I've broken stories from Finland and Switzerland and Italy and wherever I've been. It seems like I've always,
internationally breaking stories.
I've actually broken some stories from different countries.
I was just joking. I hope that you actually do get some R&R during this time, because you certainly need it, as I know we all kind of need a break right now before hopefully we see the rejoining of actual sports games, of actual sporting events, instead of talking about, will this league do that, or will that league do this? I hope that you get a little downtime before the storm really kicks up here.
Yeah, July 23rd is supposed to be the first Major League Baseball game, right? Yankees and the Nationals.
Yeah.
So, we're getting close, man, just 22 days away from the first Major League Baseball game. But let's finish on that topic that you teased. Adam Silver, the doomsday scenario. And that's what it is. It's a doomsday scenario for Walt Disney World. And Adam Silver kind of brought it up, you know, says we haven't worked through every scenario, but the notion would be that if we had a single player test positive, whether that player was an all-star or journeyman, that player would then go into quarantine. They're going to track the players. But, you know, he does bring up the, you know, he does mention that, you know, again, the doomsday scenario, like what would happen if there was too many positive tests and there was an NBA team that, or teams, you know, playoff teams that couldn't field the team. Could they possibly cancel the season because of an outbreak that spreads while they're in the bubble?
I'm not sure. We have a panel of scientists, doctors, experts that are working with us. And I mean, we're going to see as we go. I mean, certainly, you know, if cases are isolated, that's one thing. I think a lot of the determination will be our understanding of how our community became infected. That will be part of our judgment in terms of whether we should continue. But certainly if we had a lot of cases, we're going to stop.
That's interesting that we'll take a look at how our community became affected. So, you know, kind of combining some of these NBA stories, that quote from Damian Lillard today talking about how he has very little confidence that all of the players in the Orlando bubble are going to adhere to the safety and health protocols. If we see a rash of positive COVID tests and it gets traced back to a player or a couple of players sneaking individuals into the Disney bubble, then that's a different situation than if it's players just affecting, or I should say, infecting other individuals on their own team.
Listen, these leagues, baseball, basketball, like they're on pins and needles right now. Like pins and needles. Look, the NHL wasn't able to put any of their teams in the States, right? They decided on what, Edmonton and Toronto, I think, is their hub cities?
Edmonton and Toronto. That
Edmonton
is for right now, yeah.
Yeah, as of right now, because they just can't put any teams in the – they don't want to have any games in the States. Like, everybody's concerned. Like, everybody is, you know, really concerned about being able to pull this off. Like, you know, saying you're going to do it and then doing it is two different things. Hey, we're going to be able to play. But now – you know, you've got to worry about the testing. You've got to worry about stuff, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, came out with new mandates. Doug Ducey came out with new mandates. I think Florida has it. So, you know, people are still trying. We thought in the summer, the heat, we would be, I thought we'd be by this thing. I didn't know for sure, but, you know, I thought that the summer would be a lot easier. But we've had a big uptick in these, you know, cases. And different information is coming out from different people. Some people, the cases are going up and they're panicking. And other people are like, well, yeah, but the hospitalizations and but look at the deaths. The deaths are I don't, I follow this as closely as I can. You get different information from different people. I don't know. But I'm just telling you that all of these leagues, they have a major concern as to whether they're going to be able to pull this off.
So with all this being said, Adam Silver still says that he is confident in the NBA's plan to return in Orlando.
I'm pretty confident, largely because, as I said, we're playing on a campus that is confined in that the only way to gain access to that campus is to be part of our protocol where there is regular testing. And if someone were to leave our campus, again, they would need to test and quarantine in order to return to play. So at least in terms of the model, we're protected from the rate of cases in the community, in the broader community.
In terms of the model, yes, you are protected. But if there are any variances to that, then that's where you could really see some issues.
Well, I think just getting everybody there, because, you know, my whole thing was, okay, once you get there, you feel like you can control the environment. But how many people are going to get there and then test positive? Because, again, I talked to an NBA player today who told me he's been tested four times. Four times he's been tested already. Now, you know, he told me that you have to have two negative tests and you're out at least 7 or 8 days from what he told me. So if you get there and you're going to miss, say you miss 10 days, okay, well now you've missed training camp. So what's, you know, your risk for injury is greater. You're probably not going to have the wind to, like, can you miss training camp and then start playing games? Like if you show up on the 7th and then you're out for 10 days and now it's the 17th and you could practice again on the 18th, you don't have a lot of time between the first game and your first practice and the first game. And that's what I would be concerned with is, man, just that's the danger. How many players could test positive from, you know, when they get there, when they get to Orlando? That's different from testing positive like last week.
Coming up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, it's another edition of Cardinals Archives. This edition is the Arizona Cardinals taking on the Green Bay Packers in the 2015 wild card game, that overtime victory, which was quite a thrilling game there for the Arizona Cardinals. That game is going to be coming up at 6 o'clock right after us.
All right, again, I will be on vacation next week. We don't have shows the next 2 days for the holiday. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to this show. We really appreciate it and listening to this station. We hope you guys have a great Independence Day, and we hope all of you stay safe. We really do. Thanks for tuning in. Jordan, great job filling in. Mitch, you too. We'll be back. Burnsy will be back on Monday right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Have a good night, everyone.